Sometimes you feel so alone and overwhelmed, you don't know where to turn. These days, it seems like there is no end to our problems. We invite you to connect with Silent Unity, the 24-hour prayer ministry, where someone is waiting to pray with you right now. Since 1890, Silent Unity has always been there. No judgment or dogma, just someone affirming the best for you. Call 816-969-2000 today. You can also connect online at unityprayervigil.org.
Thanks for joining us. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Welcome to World Spirituality, exploring the unity within all cultures and faith traditions, with your host, Reverend Paul John Roach.
Welcome to World Spirituality on the Unity Online Radio Network. I'm your host, Paul John Roach, coming to you from Fort Worth in Texas. And today I welcome my wife, Wendy, back to the show. Welcome, Wendy.
Hello, hello.
Glad you're here. Today we look at the theme of finding deep peace and staying centered when we're experiencing difficulties, conflicts, and fears, both inner and outer, because sometimes those conflicts can come from outside of ourselves. Often they come from discord within ourselves, but really, whichever way they come, it's always an internal thing, because it's the way we perceive reality that gives us the difficulties sometimes. So it's easy to be in the flow, isn't it, when things are going well, but what about when they don't, right? And that's our theme today. Easy when everything conforms to what we think it should, or we're on a high or whatever, or we're just on the spiritual path and we feel great about it, but then reverses come, life is difficult, life is suffering, as the Buddha said. And so to prove that point, both Wendy and I have been had 2 weeks. The last 2 weeks have been a little bit of the highs and lows, haven't they? Which goes to show, you know, once you set a theme for a show, then life seems to say, okay, well, you want to know about that subject? Let me show you. So, you know, we lost our darling pet dog almost 10 years. Dylan a couple of weeks ago, and that was tough, because for anybody that's had a pet, you know how unconditionally loving they are. And he had cancer, and unfortunately we had to put him down. You know, he was with us all through our new home that we've been living in now for 9 years, and was part of the family, and it's hard then to let that dog go. And I know you'd probably want to talk a little bit about that, Wendy. And then, but then following that, we had a high and a lovely week in the Colorado. But then when we came back, Wendy had some sinuses problems, probably caused by the altitude. And I had a great show on Tibetan yoga. And then after that, I was kind of tested in some ways, feeling cut off from my spirituality after feeling so connected, which is all part of the course, I think, you know. So it's been one of those, you know, up and down times. You can attest to that, right, Wendy?
Oh, I sure can. I still think my sinuses, you know, yes, and you're right, it was the cottonwood was blowing like snow, and it was dusty and the altitude. But, you know, I think it all started from grieving from Dylan and sort of being sensitive to that and reminding myself to allow myself enough the time and the space. And I've done a little bit with you know, the metaphysical interpretation of I needed to clear my head. But going back to what you were saying about the ebb and the flow, I think the most important thing to realize here is that it ebbs and flows, that life is not a stagnant. It's not a step up, step up, step up, step up, or a step closer to your inner guidance, or a step closer to your inner spirit. Spirit is nowhere, but it's everywhere. And so you don't get closer or farther away from it. But at the same point in time, you become more aware of it, and at any given point in time. And I think that this is what this show is about. You can turn back, you can turn in, you can turn, you can be aware again, and put yourself into a different mindset, because you have that ability. We each have that ability.
Well, I think that's a very good point too, you know, because we do think in linear terms, don't we, as human beings, you know, point
yes.
A, point B,
yes.
youth, you know, middle age, old age, death, whatever. It's a sort of sequential thing. And it's the same when we apply, you know, a spiritual path. It's this idea that, well, eventually I'll find it. And then we have these concepts, you know, that I'm going to find heaven when I die and everything. And, you know, as Jesus pointed out, you know, kingdom of heaven is within you right now in fullness. And I mean, just because you're not experiencing it doesn't mean that it's not still in fullness within you. So I think, you know, if we put it off or say, oh, well, you know, I didn't do so well, but I'm getting closer now, you know, we're sort of seeing it in the wrong light. It's resting in it even
correct.
when
yes.
we can't feel it, right? Yeah.
Yes.
And,
very,
and
very nicely put.
Yeah, it's a shift in perception, I guess.
Right. Because it is. It's sort of like, it's like if you beat yourself up because you're on the spiritual path and you think, oh, well, I'm doing so well. And I mean, after all, Paul, I mean, you're a minister and aren't you prayed up? And you
yeah.
know, and then all of a sudden you stumble and you think, oh, wow. And like you said, I mean, you set your intentions to having a show, and so life gives you an example of it, you get to examine that example and see how it fits into the larger scheme of things. You know, I've heard you say before, this is the shift in perspective, I think, is called graceful living, like where you live from spirit versus trying to read about it in a book or hunt it down, even with a walk in the woods, that you have to carry that inner light with you and know that rely on it, know it's there. And like in quantum physics, if you turn your attention to something, it changes the whole situation.
Right, and yeah, quantum physics is interesting, isn't it? Because it seems to be very close to some of the mystics' understanding of truth, right? That, you know, we're neither a wave nor a particle, we're both and we become one or the other when, like you say, when we notice, when we place our attention on something. And, you know, Heisenberg's principles and this idea that, you know, when we observe something, then it becomes the thing rather than it doesn't have to be anything until it's observed. I think Schrodinger's cat, you know, is trying to point that out, though it's been used as a joke now for years, this idea of the cat in the box. But I think what it's saying is we're never going to know whether the cat's alive or dead until we open the box and look. And that's not a negative thing. That means that we are tendencies towards something. So even in our lowest times, what we might label our lowest times, you know, we can shift in a moment back to, you know, the wave and be free. So it's a question of noticing, I think, you know, and instead of, oh, my God, I lost it. And you just notice that, oh, right now I'm seeing like it feels like I've lost something, but, you know, what am I lost? I'm noticing it. And what's noticing this is free, you know, the what we might call the observer self, or that which is beyond all the circumstances of our lives.
Mm-hmm. And even then from the awareness in your head, the aha, okay,
sorry.
That's
okay.
Cut off. Did you lose your headphone?
I just had a pop out. Sorry, I thought you were continuing to talk, so keep going.
That's okay. It sounded like you lost your headset.
No, I had to take it off to close the door because I can hear you talking. See, I'm talking with my wife. She's in one part of the house and I'm in another, folks. So I could hear her echoing in the back. So I decided to close the door thinking she was keeping talking.
anyway,
there's an example right there of distraction.
We should could have done it from the same room.
Yeah, that's right. But then I would have, you know, the anyway, it doesn't. It's fine. Anyway, let's continue.
Well, anyway, so what I was going to say was that, I mean, you know, and so many things distract us during the day. I mean, we get distracted. We get distracted over here, and there's this little niggling little thing that happens over there that you didn't quite think through. And then at the end of the day, you're going through the whole list of them. And, you know, I think those things build up on us. I mean, we accumulate those things, and doing cleansing processes, I think, are important to allow our mind to just rest on things. And, you know, some things are tasks that you, you know, put on your to-do list and you do and you go on with, but it's those niggling things that you didn't quite figure out or didn't quite understand what was going on, or was when so-and-so was talking to you, did they really mean this or that? Or, you know, some of those things or just feeling off yourself, to stop and just clear your mind. And I think one of my best techniques is using the breath to do it. And it gives you a settling point when you become aware of your breath and use it to clear your mind out.
Right. And
blowing my nose out.
I know, with all that sinus stuff. Yeah, bless your heart. You know, many of us practice yoga. It's become quite popular now, Hatha yoga. And, you know, one of the techniques, of course, is, you know, pranayama, whatever, the use of the breath. But even in this very simple way, you know, a breath is very instructive, isn't it, on all levels. You know, we have to breathe to live, number one. And you breathe naturally, you know, without thinking about it many times. But sometimes we don't breathe as easily and deeply as we could because we're shallow breathing or whatever. So it's instructive to take deeper breaths. Andrew Weil, in his one of his books, you know, talks about the 4-7-8 breath, which I found deeply relaxing. You inhale for 4 seconds, you hold it for 7, and then you exhale for 8. And if you do that just a few times, you know, you slow your whole metabolism down, it seems. You enter into a place of stillness just using those 4-7-8 breaths. Another thing about breathing is, you know, it's very instructive of the way the universe moves, isn't it? You can't hold on to a breath. You eventually have to exhale. You can't just breathe in one time and that's it. You know, it's a constant giving and taking, a constant flow. And really the universe is like that. It's, you know, we're breathing in, we're breathing out. What's good for us is not good for plants, but what's good for plants is the stuff we can't use, right? The CO2 or whatever. So there's a reciprocity there too. So, you know, everything's in balance and harmony. So to release is fine, and so is to gather. So it's, you know, it's part and parcel of this flow.
Mm-hmm. Now I use breathing into love. Thinking of the word love and breathing out and releasing to release. And because I don't like to count. I think my mind goes weird with that. It's distracting to me.
Right.
So the words are concentrating on the words seem a little easier for me. But
right.
There's so many different techniques, like you pointed out. I mean, closing off one nostril and breathing through the other side and then releasing that one and breathing out the other side is a way of calming yourself almost immediately.
Right. It's supposed to balance the hemispheres of your brain too, right? So you know, right. Alternate breathing through the nostrils, right?
Mm-hmm.
All you know, and I think the thing to do is to find the one that works for you, right? That resonates for you. There's many, like you said, many techniques. So don't do one that doesn't have any meaning for you. You know, use one that that helps you get there. There's enough of them around to find the one that's good for you. So I wanted to read a short, but I think it's very beautiful, Celtic blessing. That goes back hundreds of years, that invokes peace, just to get us going on this theme. We talked about breath as a way to do it. But what about this? It says, deep peace of the running wave to you. Deep peace of the flowing air to you. Deep peace of the quiet earth to you. Deep peace of the shining stars to you. Deep peace of the sun of peace to you. And I've always loved that particular poem. Again, it's like incantation. It's like a spell, isn't it? Because it repeats the same phrase over and over. But it's connecting with nature. It's connecting with the elements, you know, elements of water, the running wave of the air, the flowing air, the quiet earth, the shining stars with all their light, energy, and fire. And then with space itself, with the infinitude of the Son of Peace, you know, of the Christ presence that's within us and around us. So to me, that's a strong way of finding peace, is to connect to nature, you know, because again, talking about the flow and the rhythm of everything, there's seasons and cycles, there's day and night, there's all these flowing patterns that bring us into harmony, that help us to find rest. You know, there's an order beyond our busyness. And I think connecting with nature is very, very important.
Well, it makes you, I mean, you can trust nature. It the sun comes up, the moon comes up, the sun sets, it started raining while we were talking, in July and August, rain is like, oh, it's a miracle that our earth provides for us. And, you've often talked about the river that was in your hometown, how it was laden with soot from the coal mines. And then we went back and it was clear. And the earth even can heal itself. And finding trust in those things, I think it gives you peace, because you know that you're part of this, you're part of this world and part of this nature yourself.
And you know, you're right, nature will renew itself if given the chance, right? You know, like the coal right. mines, they're gone now in Wales, so the streams are getting pure again, thanks to a little bit of human help as well. But, you know, right. inherently they will renew themselves. We've mm-hmm. seen the same thing in America. I mean, some of the rivers that flowed into the Lake Erie back in the 60s, you know, they were so toxic, they were on fire. And now it's quite pure there if you go to Cleveland, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. And I think Pittsburgh's the same example. You know, it's a very clean city now, and it used to be, you know, really, really dirty. So, yeah, mm-hmm. you know, things can be transformed.
We're part of that transformation.
We're part of that flow.
That's what, right. You know, what I'm saying is that gives me peace. That gives me confidence, I think, that in spirit, that I'm part of that flow.
So I would suggest, folks, if you're listening to this part of the show talking about nature, you know, find a connection to nature, whether it be a garden that you have, or even a plant box, you know, because you can grow some amazing things in a box. Maybe it's a pet. Maybe it's the sky, and you like to watch the stars or see the changes in the weather, the times of day, you know, the sunset, the sunrise. Maybe it's the movement of the seasons. You know, if you're in a place where you have dramatic seasonal shift, it's beautiful to see that. I used to, when we first moved to our house about 9 years ago, I loved the summer because all the trees were full of leaves and everything. And I'd be sad when the winter came because the woods were dead, seemingly. But now, actually, I love it because there's a structural integrity to the skeletal look of everything. And the colors are different, you know, you have the tones of the twigs and everything. So now I actually love that season as well. It means it's lovely to see the extreme profusion of summer, but it's okay that we have these fallow times too, because we know, right, that when you have that seemingly dead time, you know that the spring is coming. And same in our lives, you know, we talked about the ups and downs the last few weeks, and yeah, you know, part of the losing it is, or appearing to lose it, is part of finding it. You know, you can't find it if you haven't lost it, in a sense. in the Bible, you know, the fall of man was really, as Eric Butterworth, the great Unity minister and writer, said, it was a fall forward, because we fell from the bliss of ignorance, perhaps, but we came into experience, and experience can help us on our journey home as well. So it's all part of the flow of things. So everything's grist for the mill. That's why I like to put it. Everything's useful. Again, the animals. We're in the right in the city here, about a mile from downtown, but we're on a sort of a wooded hillside. But we've been having turkeys in our backyard the last few weeks.
And two babies.
A turkey mom, a hen, and two chicks. And I think they're roosting in our tree, and in one of our trees here, because we seem to hear them at night. And but that's kind of cool, because I'm not expecting turkeys right in the middle of the city, expecting out in the country perhaps. So I like to be surprised. We have a nesting pair of Mississippi kites also that took up residence in one of our trees and hunts in our garden and the around surroundings. So that's nice too. So, you know, it's wonderful to see Mother Nature and the variety of Mother Nature, even in an urban setting.
Well, I think that the idea of every time we grow something in our yard, just the mere fact that it was just a little tiny speck, a seed, and then it grew, or you take a little packet of seeds and you throw them out, and you, all of a sudden you have beautiful flowers that go, you know, with the from those tiny little seeds, and then they make seeds and they come back next year, and then the animals come. And I was telling Paul yesterday, we have these purple flowers that I have no earthly idea what they are, that just sort of volunteered outside one of our windows. And I said, I look out there every day, and there's a bee or a butterfly or something in those flowers. And I thought that's peaceful to me. That gives me a sense of peace and connected to our world. Looking out there and seeing that happening, that pollination happening.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, and you know, they're sort of a weedy thing, aren't they? But they're very beautiful, and they do attract, like you said, all kinds of insects. And mm-hmm. I don't know if they're a thistle family or whatever they are, but they're quite good, quite nice. And mm-hmm. you know, sometimes we overlook things like that because, oh, that's a weed, you know. There's another plant called a salsify, I think it's called, and it has the most, a bit like a dandelion, but it has the most beautiful seed head, and like a dandelion, a sort of a globe, but much bigger. And there's one in our yard, actually in the empty lot next to our yard, and it was just glorious. I took a picture of it, put it up on Facebook, but I thought, you know, just out of a little bit of a empty place, there's beauty. And I think that's another way to restore our peace is to find nature. I think it was John O'Donohue, the Irish writer, that said that beauty is found in neglected places. And I think he's right. You know, it's in those places we least expected to find something. That nature shows up in all its beauty. I think that's true for people too. People we maybe overlooked, you know, who haven't got the most radiant personalities or the most pretty faces or whatever, but they're often the most interesting people. But they've been keeping themselves to themselves. And if we pay attention, we find there's greater depth of joy in them than there might be in another kind of person, you know, who's been spending too much time on the periphery of things, on the surface of things. So, you know, we always got to look beyond those surface places, right, into the heart of things, because that's where the true reward is, I think. Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about these surface things that we see as triggers towards that. The thing itself, it's just a trigger to remind us again, to become aware again of our integration in the world and nature.
Yeah, there's not, and you're right. You know, there's nothing wrong with the surface of things, right? Just as there's nothing wrong with the surface of the sea or whatever. But as long as we don't say, "Well, that we understand the sea now," because I've seen the surface. You know, there's a huge, vast depth below, and so it's both and. And we don't want to get into that. Oh, well, it's, you shouldn't be superficial or whatever. You know, you shouldn't look at the surface. Well, you can look at the surface and enjoy it. But as long as you understand, that's just part of the larger sense of who we are and what the world is. I think that's the key. Folks, we're talking about finding peace in difficult times. I'm with my wife, Wendy, and she's been on the show many times. We like to chat sometimes about these themes, especially, you know, to find practical ways to find peace in the midst of difficulty, or find meaning when life seems meaningless or whatever. And this is especially apropos, I think, right now in some aspects of our world, you know, where the media and social commentary, you know, is constantly talking about the divisive and the difficulties that are around us and the craziness and whatnot. And we can get infected by that if we're not careful, and allow it to become our reality. And yeah, there's always problems out there, and we're not denying them, but maybe they're not as you know, or omnipresent as they need to be. They don't have to take up center stage in our consciousness, and we have to
ask what good it's doing.
Right, you know, exactly. You know, is it helping for me to let them take up center stage, you know, in my consciousness here? We become fixated on it and, in a sense, become part of the problem if we're not careful. So anyway, let's take a break. We're going to listen to these messages from Unity. When we come back, we'll look at the nature of light, and we'll do a little guided meditation as well. So join us then.
Experience the difference. Unity Online Radio. The voice of an awakening world.
Unity Online Radio is bringing the message of unity to thousands of spiritual seekers around the world. If you enjoy our programming, we invite you to support it by visiting unityonlineradio.org and clicking on Donate Now. Help us continue to provide inspiring content to everyone. Thank you for your support.
Here's a Unity Mindful Moment by Ed McShane, a coach for your heart.
I used to belong to the "if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands" club. These days, given the person I live with, it's a little closer to "if you're happy and you know it, just be okay with that." My actions of unbridled excitement and happiness need not necessarily be seen. I can express my joy with the bathroom door closed and the shower running. I don't need another person to experience my demonstration of joy for my feelings to have meaning to me. This doesn't mean that you should suppress your expression of joy, not in the least. Others can just see and feel your joy through your energy. Joy can be peaceful, active, loud, expressive, warm, and silent. There can be great peace in joy. Sometimes, decide to embrace it with genuine confidence within the serenity joy can bring.
To find out more about A Coach for Your Heart, visit acoachforyourheart.com.
Did you know you can reach Unity's 24/7 prayer ministry online? You don't even have to give your name to know the prayers have begun for you or those you love. Someone has been praying around the clock at Silent Unity since 1890, and every request is taken into prayer for 30 days. Why not let us pray with you too? To submit your prayer request to Silent Unity online, go to unity.org and click on prayer, or call 816-969-2000.
Would you like to show your support for Unity Online Radio? You can donate easily on your phone by texting the word VOICE to 50555 and donate $10 to support Unity Online Radio. It's easy to do, and your offering will help us keep inspirational and positive programming on the air. Remember, just text the word VOICE to 50555 and support your favorite shows on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Create a path to success and prosperity with Mae McCarthy and Abundance Incorporated every Thursday at 2 p.m. Central on UnityOnlineRadio.org. A co-founder of 7 successful companies, an angel investor, best-selling author, and international speaker, Mae will help you each week with spiritual and practical tools you can use to create a life that you love with greater health, happiness, wealth, and freedom. Join the show live with your questions or listen later on demand right here on UnityOnlineRadio.org.
Call now with your question or comment. 816-251-3555. That's 816-251-3555.
We now return to World Spirituality with Reverend Paul John Roach.
All right, welcome back to today's show on World Spirituality. I'm with my wife, Wendy. We're talking about finding deep peace in difficult times or when we're overwhelmed with conflicts or just not feeling connected. We'll be talking about the power of the breath, of connecting to nature and the seasons. And in the second half, I want to talk a little bit about the natural radiance that's within us and also, you know, investigating who am I? Do I need to take this personally? And we'll have a little guided meditation on that regard. If you look at all scriptures, whether it be Christian or Buddhist or Hindu or Sufi or whatever it is, light is hugely important. You know, the beginning of the Bible starts, doesn't it? Let there be light, and there was light. The New Testament, likewise, is about light. The beginning was the Word, and then one of the qualities, the most predominant quality of the Word is light and love. Jesus, you know, said, "You are the light of the world." And this idea of light and the radiance of the light is hugely important in Buddhism, for instance, in the more mystical branches like Mahamudra, Adi Yoga, Dzogchen. They talk about our natural radiance. The natural radiance of all things in the present moment, that everything is filled with light. And that makes sense, really, if you think about our universe is light itself, isn't it? All the radiance of the stars and the galaxies. And this spiritual light is reflected in the physical light as well. So I love that idea that you have a natural radiance. I think it was Myrtle Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, said that yeah, and I can't remember the exact quote, but it was something like the radiance of the Christ wipes out all darkness and you know, the radiance of the Christ in you. So just contemplating that natural radiance that we are, you know, that spaciousness, that sun of possibility shining within you, that beautiful light. I know there's a quote from the Bhagavad Gita that Wendy likes, about you know, in the cave of the heart, you know, there's a windless place where no wind can come, and there's a light shining in that space. You know, that's always a light, always pure and blissful, and it's that cave of the heart where this light of the of spirit, or the light of the Christ, if we're looking at it from a Christian perspective, or the light of the universe is just burning perpetually, and to know that it deep in the core of us is that light is a very peaceful thing, I think, to know that there's a stillness within us.
Makes me melt. It does. It just makes me go, oh yes.
Yeah. It is beautiful, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I know in the Muslim tradition that one of the surahs of the Quran, you know, talks about the light and the mystical light. It uses the image of the mosque, I think, the light in a special niche in the mosque. But it's really symbolic of the niche again in our own being, in our own temple, our own mosque, which is the body mind. And so you know you see it everywhere. And when the light shines, everything begins to shine. I think that's part of this energy too, you know, is that, and it's infectious. When you decide that you are light, you know, you cannot help but share that. It's kind of contagious. And everybody feels that. And we've all been around people who are, you know, connected to that light and that love. And they have a joy within their hearts. I think the Dalai Lama is a good example. And some other people we might have met in on our life's journey. And they're the opposite of those people who are endlessly sucking light from, you know, those sort of energy vampires. And if we're honest, we'll say that we've been both, right? We've been bringers of light, and sometimes in our lives we're energy vampires because we just are so down. We seem to suck all the energy and light and possibility out of a situation. And, you know, that's a sad place to be. So we don't want to be there. We want to shift that as much as we can in a different direction. Which brings me to the question that the great saints have always asked us to ask, and that is, who am I? You know, what am I? Am I this body mind? Am I this personality? Am I this person called Paul or Wendy or Joe or Fred or Amy or whatever? Or what am I? You know, I have a mind. Am I the mind? I have a body. I have emotions. I have moods. But maybe I'm more than all those things, right? And if we look closely at ourselves, you know, we begin to disappear because the moods come and go, the emotions likewise, thoughts certainly come and go. Even our sense of self is really provisional with different things to different people. So who we are we? And, you know, we're not even spirit, because then we've labeled it again. You know, we are even beyond the labels, right? Beyond the names we might put to ourselves. We're a certain openness or emptiness that is free of all conditions. And that emptiness is one with everything. We are all part of the whole. We're nothing and we're everything. And, you know, you might say, well, that's kind of an abstruse idea, but really it's a very practical idea. It comes back to the quantum physics again. You know, we're neither a wave nor a particle. We are that possibility that creates either of those in any particular time, but we're something much more open and free, you know, and that's our true identity.
Which is difficult to relate to when you're feeling like your head is stopped up and you're
yeah,
and you're feeling like a lump of a particle instead of a free-flowing
yeah.
wave.
How true.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's difficult. It's difficult if you're in the middle of grief or if you're in the middle of a fight with somebody. You know, I always think, though, that there is that millimeter of a second that you can just know that there's a gap there, and that on a turn of dime, you can make another choice.
Yeah.
You can condition yourself to make the other choice. You can condition yourself to being to bring in that awareness. I remember when I was younger, and I would get angry quicker than I do right now. And I remember thinking, how can I stop myself from doing that? How can I catch myself so that I don't get there? And of course, there's many different things. There's like the whole, you know, what's leading up to it and working on your own inner self. But I do remember realizing the power of just being aware that brought me to that tiny little gap that gave me the ability to say, shut your mouth.
Right.
You're not talking from love. You're not talking from the place you want to talk from. You're not living from the place you want to talk to, you know, be in. So shut your mouth. And let's straighten this back out, you know, within my own self, so that then I could represent to the, you know, to the situation. Just finding that small little gap that's created by awareness that did that for me.
Yeah, very good. And, you know, you bring up these things like grief and sorrow and whatnot. You know, we can't not have those things in our lives. We wouldn't be fully human, right? If you didn't feel grief when you lose a person or a dog or whatever it is, you know, that's part of what we must go through. But you're right, you know, the awareness of it, you know, I'm aware that I'm in grieving right now, and that's okay. I don't have to beat myself up for it, right? But I'm creating a certain gap or openness to that, to allow that to be okay. And that's the moment where we, you know, could let the comfort enter, if you like. You know, Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. What he was saying, allow themselves to mourn, you know, who don't get lost in it, but also don't try and deny it either. You know, the moment we accept it, allow it to be what it is, then there's the comfort that comes in as a compensatory power, you know, because always there. So yeah, it's a delicate balance sometimes, isn't it? To allow ourselves to be human and divine at the same time. I think that's where the church council got it right about Jesus. They said he was fully human and fully divine, as so are we, you know, that he didn't just go through the motions of being human. He actually was human. But he also discovered his spiritual identity as well. He wasn't some spiritual plant into this world, you know, that never really suffered. No, he's just like us. He was both, and that's to me the beauty of it, you know, that he went through everything that we go through and was willing to embrace it all, even unto death. And so that's the great example for me there, you know, that I can follow that path because I know that somebody had the courage to do it as well, you know, and gone mm-hmm. through every single thing that could possibly befall a human being. Yeah, but you're absolutely right. You know, you are radiant, you are joy filled, you know. Well, I don't feel like that when you're in the middle of, you know, pain and suffering, when you can't get enough money to do the things you need to do, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, it's, and I think this is where sometimes unity falls down, you know, we're a little bit Pollyanna sometimes, you know, slap an affirmation on it and all will be well, you know. I think that's, what we call today metaphysical malpractice. You know, you have to allow you to feel what you're feeling. I think that's hugely important. But at the same time, not get lost in it, not to think that's the only way, mm-hmm. because, you know, the flow means that it's not always that way, right? It's going to change.
Well, and you know, there are affirmations that are more, you know, that various affirmations, and you can find what is fitting for you at the time. Of course, I think yours and mine's favorite is peace be still. Isn't it written? I think it's written on the wall in the Unity Chapel.
Absolutely.
Too. Yeah. Yes. And it just, we have it on a little plaque that's above our utility sink. As we walk into our house, you see that, but it's quick and it's effective. And you know, we saw it. My mother died back in December, and where she was in hospice, it was written on a turning piece of marble that had water on it, and it had the peace be still verse
I think it was,
on it.
Yeah, be still and know. Be still and know that
be
I am
still
God.
And know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, geez, I'm where I need to be. I mean, it was like affirmation for me.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, the case in point with the peace be still, you know, the quote from the Bible is at a time when, you know, there was a dreadful storm and Jesus was down below sleeping and the disciples woke him up in fear. And he wasn't fearful. He just said to the storm, peace be still, and it was calm. So, you know, there's a case in point. The humanness in us is panicking, you know, because there's this storm that's threatening the ship of our lives. And the Christ needs to be woken, remembered, brought up from below, from the subconscious, and reminded to look around you, Jesus, we got to need you. And his response isn't to go, oh my God, you're right, we're going to die. No, his response is, peace, be still. So the Christ in us is always saying that, peace, be still, even in the midst of the traumas of our lives. And wonderful metaphysical meaning to that story, right? Because it's not denying mm-hmm. that there was a storm, you know, there was difficulty. You know, it's not that Jesus came up on board and said, "What storm? I don't see any storm." No, he acknowledged the storm, but he said, "Peace, be still. In the midst of this, there's peace." And that's powerful to me. So again, you know, it's bringing both together, bringing the both parts of our experience together as one to find that greater whole, which is, you know, the paramount nature of peace. And it's a subtle difference, isn't it, between saying, "Oh, it doesn't exist," because there are spiritual paths that say, "Oh, this is all an illusion; it doesn't really exist." Well, you know, I think it might be illusory. It's not what we seem to think it is, but it does exist, you know, in some form or function, and we have to embrace that. I think that's hugely, hugely important.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought we'd do a short meditation, just a little short one based on an affirmation that we could maybe join in on. So especially if we're working with something today that's confusing us or giving us grief or whatever, that we can spend this 5 minutes just centering ourselves in this meditation time. So if you'd like to join me as you're listening, just find some quiet place. If you're not already sitting quietly, put your feet on the ground, because that helps to ground us, keep our back straight so the flow of energy can go up our spines, and possibly close our eyes if we feel comfortable doing so. Put our hands in a place where we can forget about them, where they're comfortable, and breathe nice and naturally and easily, and enter into this meditation time. And our affirmation is, I have the energy enough, the strength enough, the wisdom enough, and the time enough to do all that is mine to do this day. The energy, strength, wisdom, time enough to do all that is mine to do this day. And so from my humanness, there may be some protesting. No, I've got a limited amount of time. I feel hassled, I feel overwhelmed. But this is spirit within you speaking to you right now, informing you that you have energy, strength, wisdom, time enough to do all that is yours to do this day. Because the wisdom and the strength, the energy, the spaciousness, the timelessness is infinite within you. You are a child of the universe. And when you allow those energies to flow through you, from the heart of you, through every cell, through every organ, through every emotion and thought, then you begin to manifest that perfect divine order that comes when we affirm there's time enough, energy enough, strength enough and wisdom enough to do all that is mine to do this day. And just breathe into that. Allow that to be the absolute truth. And as we do so, all the worries and frets and fears begin to dissolve, begin to move into their rightful place. They have a certain reality, but they have no power to upset our equilibrium, our ability, the order and harmony of our lives. In fact, they begin to line up like iron filings line up to a magnet to help fulfill the higher purpose that we have this day. Once again, we affirm we have time enough, energy enough, strength enough, and wisdom enough to do all that is ours to do this day. And we do it easily and harmlessly and joyously for the benefit of all.
This is the truth. We are grateful. And so it is. Amen.
Amen.
You know, the power of little statements like that and little meditation times like that is that they have the power to change the cognitive functioning of our brains. It's not just nice ideas. It actually works. And, you know, people like Bruce Lipton and others have talked about the connection between spirituality and biology. And it literally calms our being, changes our breathing patterns, changing the neurons in our brain. So it's a highly effective to do these kind of things, because even if just for a few minutes a day, right, we don't have to spend long time in meditation, just to be mindful that there is this dimension that we can harness is extremely powerful. And we can, you know, spend maybe two or three times a day just doing that, spending a couple of minutes or cogitating and contemplating that affirmation and letting it resonate in us. It can have a great effect in shifting our awareness. Like you said earlier, Wendy, it's part of the awareness. What am I aware of now? I'm not so aware of all my problems. I'm more aware of my possibilities, right?
Right. If it's too hard to wrap your head around how that works or how it happens, you just don't really even need to know. Just try it. Just try using something to reframe and using an affirmation or using a meditation or listening to that meditation. That was lovely, Paul. That was very lovely. Again, and be with it and see what happens yourself. And you don't have to understand how it happens. It just does.
Right. Absolutely.
Give it a chance.
We can't work this out, right? I think that's another mistake we might make, you know, is that we feel like I've got to understand it intellectually before I'm going to practice it. And some of these things, you know, are too deep for our heads to work out, right? In fact, they're going to sabotage sometimes if we try and work it all out. So we have to participate in it. I think I'm not saying you should turn your mind off and become an automaton or anything, but you're connecting with a deeper reality that you are, which is going into that intuitive part of yourself that knows. Hence the statement, you know, be still and know that I am God. It's a knowing of our own divinity, and that's a powerful place to be. So let's recap. What have we discussed? We talked about the breath. This is a powerful way to find peace in a difficult time. Connecting with nature, you know, reading simple affirmations or prayers or poems, I think, can help us. Like the Deep Peace poem from the Celtic tradition. You know, connecting to nature in general, to the rhythm and flow of things, to the natural radiance and light that we are. Also, like Wendy was saying, you know, being okay with not having what you want, being okay with being in grief, you're noticing that, be aware of it, because that's part of your humanness, right? But then harnessing all these tremendous energies that can come from a meditative approach to life. What else do we want to cover today, Wendy? That's quite a bit, isn't it? That's quite a good little sampling of techniques we can apply to ourselves. You know, I like the Golden Key too. Ever since I first found that years and years ago, Emmett Fox wrote a little pamphlet called The Golden Key. I think it's also in one of his books. Great metaphysician, great writer. And the Golden Key is very simple. It's basically you take your mind off the problem and put it on God. You know, take your focus away from all the things that are perturbing you and put it on the solution, on spirit. And he calls that golden keying the problem, you know, turning that golden key in the lock of the problem and opening to the light, to the door beyond, and to the room beyond. And I love that idea because, you know, you can only hold one thought at a time generally. You know, there's thousands of them flowing into our heads, but usually one gains attention and then another one comes along. So, you know, instead of letting all the worry thoughts and concern thoughts fill our head, golden key it, you know, focus on solutions, focus on possibility, contemplate light as opposed to all the darkness we might be in right now. And then there's silence. And, you know, they say...
I thought you were wrapping up.
No, I thought that was good. That was good because, you know, they say, oh, no, you can't have dead air on radio. You know, that's the worst thing you can have. But, you know, sometimes it's okay to have that quiet time, right? We've done enough talking. And like you said earlier, it's time to shut up.
Wonderful meditation, I'm just like...
You're zoned out now,
enjoying myself.
All right, well, we are close to the end of the show, so that's okay. I hope you've enjoyed this show, folks. Let me tell you about next week, and then we'll say goodbye. Next week I talked to a person who's written a book called The Seven Elemental Forces of Huna, practices for tapping into the energies of nature from the Hawaiian tradition. She's a naturopath as well as a Huna teacher, Suzanne Wiecki, and she's coming to me, I think, from Berlin, actually, or from Germany. And so that should be fascinating. So join me for that show. If you have enjoyed this and other shows on the Voice of an Awakening World, I invite you to also check out my World Spirituality Facebook page, or go to my own website, which is pauljohnroach.com. You're very welcome to email me with any questions or thoughts or experiences you've had at pauljohnroach@yahoo.com. We're always open to connecting in that way. So thanks for keeping this Voice of an Awakening World on the air and all the exciting shows that are on here. And like I say, until next week, bye-bye. And again, thanks to Wendy for all her insights. She always brings something valuable, I think. So thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure.
And we'll talk to you soon. All right, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Sometimes you feel so alone and overwhelmed, you don't know where to turn. These days, it seems like there is no end to our problems. We invite you to connect with Silent Unity, the 24-hour prayer ministry where someone is waiting to pray with you right now. Since 1890, Silent Unity has always been there. No judgment or dogma, just someone affirming the best for you. Call 816-969-2000 today. You can also connect online at unityprayervigil.org.